Well, we have a high Sabbath day, and we get to celebrate communion today, which we haven't been doing because of the pandemic for quite some time. And the more I studied about this, the more I realized that it really is spiritually damaging to not be able to have the services of the church, especially foot washing and the Lord's Supper. Now, historically, Protestants have not celebrated this probably as much as they should because of an overreaction against misunderstandings in the Middle Ages. But in the New Testament church, they had daily foot washings and daily communion services from house to house. It says in Acts chapter 2, several places. And why do I say they had daily foot washings? Because every day you washed your feet in Roman society, or you were not considered a clean citizen, and you were actually aiding and abetting disease. So if you did not wash your feet once a day, you were in trouble. So every meal and every time of getting together would have included foot washings. And we kind of have lost that today. And so sometimes churches will have actually communion services without foot washing, which would be a big no-no in Jesus' day. They never did that. They never ever did that. That would be, like, disgusting. So as I was thinking about this idea of washing, talked about several texts today in the various services, but today I want to talk about Isaiah in this service, Isaiah chapter 1. So turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 1. And we're going to look here at a very fascinating text in verse 16 through 18. Wash yourselves and make yourself clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Like it says in James chapter 1, verse 27, visit widows and orphans in their afflictions. And then the text, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Although they're red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So the stains of sin can be taken away. We'll talk about that today. But how many of you have ever heard of any court cases where stains were actually used to convict a killer? Remember O.J. Simpson trial with blood-soaked gloves? And he only got off because of a slick saying by Johnny Cochran. The gloves don't fit. You must what?
Quit.
No one knows that? If the gloves don't fit, you must acquit. But DNA sampling later on tested and showed that the Simpson's blood was on the gloves as well as the people that were murdered. And so he had a serious civil suit where he lost all his money and went to jail because of the stains, looking at the stains. What about Mark Antony? He tried to take over after Caesar was killed by Brutus because he held up his shirt, so-called bloody shirt defense, and showed the blood of Caesar, and there was an outpouring of public support for the deceased emperor. What about Joseph and his coat of many colors? And they tried to cover their tracks by staining that coat and smearing blood on it. They got away with it for some time, but later on they were found out. And then what about Cain and Abel? His blood still cries out from the ground, says the scriptures. Cain had killed him. And what about probably this one? I remember JFK and the day that he died was shot with a bullet in Dallas. And his wife, Jackie, continued to wear the blood-stained pink Chanel suit that she had on. She wore it that day, and they said, why don't you put something else on? As Lyndon Baines Johnson was sworn in as president. And she said, no, let them see what they've done. Let them see the stains. Let them see the stains. Abraham Lincoln, also killed by John Wilkes Booth, as he slumped forward in that chair, and then his head went back, blood all over the chair. And the chair was kept as evidence in the court trial, and then later sold back to the Ford Theater, where you can still see it today. So, blood stains. related to our passage today. So let's look back now at our passage in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. So they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Who's being addressed here? Come, let us reason together. Who is God calling? Who is he calling?
Human race.
He's calling Israel in this particular time. Those who have feel they have gone so far or too far. Those who knew better and kept doing wrong things anyway. Verse 2, it says, children who had rebelled against him. This cry is not being made to complete strangers. It's being made to those who are his children. And actually, it's a cry then to us, the Israel of God, as Galatians calls the church. And they're acting actually worse than animals, it says in verse 3. Verse 3, the ox knows its owner, the donkey its master, but Israel does not know, my people don't consider. So they're actually acting worse than animals. Sometimes we forget what we did. We have a spiritual amnesia because we like to think that we've done everything right. And this is the human case. We hear about beastly crimes that are committed, but these are worse than animals. And animals never do to each other what humans do to each other. Humans are always crueler than animals to one another. Inhumanity of mankind. If an animal did the kind of things that humans do, they would be probably eliminated. And at least the ox and donkey recognize who's feeding them. Sometimes we even forget that. So this is against those who had rebelled, against his own people. Verse 4 says, they're loaded with iniquities. They're loaded with iniquities. Verse 5, they've been chastened already. And their bodies are covered with bruises and lacerations, but they still continue in rebellion. How long would you put up with a dog that refused to obey you, that attacked you? But this is what Israel is pictured as doing. And so, come, let us reason. Come, the people he's calling, is the church. Those who are the closest to him, those that are within the body of Israel, the body of Christ. And what is the invitation? Come, let us do what? Let us reason together. Today we live in an era of non-reasoning. People don't know the reasons for what they're doing, and they don't understand what's going on, especially in spiritual things. There's a lack of standing under or understanding. You know, you go to churches, and sometimes they're singing 7-Eleven songs. They say the same seven words 11 times, and they don't even know what those mean. And it's kind of like reduced. Everything is reduced. It's really kind of... I'm amazed at how vacuous the sermons are, superficially looking at texts, not looking at underlying words, and not really even studying. And so there's a superficiality. The Bible actually addresses the issues of today in deep, profound ways, if you actually took the time to look under the surface a little bit. And so he says, come, let us do what? Reason together. You know, some people have talked about the Bible not being scientific. Well, what they don't understand is there wouldn't be any scientific without the Bible, number one. And secondly, many times as I'm studying texts and working with people, it's right in line with the science. For instance, let's take foot washing. As I mentioned in the midweek service, foot washing, actually, if you put someone's water in warm, or feet in warm water, it has a calming effect on them, physically, mentally, emotionally, and opens them up spiritually. And they've actually done studies on this. And there was a person that was working in a mental health environment where there was bad mental health issues and there also was disease and the people were downright dangerous. But as they began washing their feet and giving them treatments of warm water on their feet, they would open up, they would say things, and they would become more open than they ever had been before. So actually, Jesus' foot washing was the best way to focus the attention of the disciples. to open them up, to actually being able to reason. Come, let us reason together. They were all seeking their own ambitions. They were all seeking their own will in their own way. And often when we try and compartmentalize our communion services by not having the foot washing aspect, then we actually are not really even getting to the root of anything. We're just having a little snack at church. When really we need to take the time, which is why we talked about it at midweek service, so we could have the time to prepare for the foot washing today. And the other thing is, people talk about a blind faith. I don't think the word blind faith is found anywhere really in the Bible. Something hoped for and the evidence of things not seen might be the closest, but our faith is not blind. God's ways are always reasonable. That's why when you look at them, they are reasonable ways of looking at the data. You take nature, things in nature. One way to look at them is evolution over millions of years. It seems highly unreasonable to look at it that way to me as I've looked at the data. Another way is there was a creator. Even science itself says now there was a big bang. That's the closest they can come. Boom. But they're stipulating that there was a punctiliar point in time that things happened. Come, let us reason together. God's ways are reasonable. God has given us strong reasons to believe in him. We look at the complex forms of nature, for instance, and we can see there was a designer. The Apostle Peter speaks about people becoming willfully ignorant. And ignorant means to either not know something or ignore something that's right there in plain. Come, let us reason together. And also the prophecies give us strong reasons to believe. Bible prophecy that was stated beforehand and then came true afterwards. The Bible is about 30% prophecy. And there's been over 350 prophecies that came true concerning Christ himself. Come, let us reason together. So our upcoming meeting with Louis Torres. He was dead in trespasses and sins. He played for Bill Haley in the Comets. He was their bass player. And he was bass in many ways. But then he heard Bible prophecy, changed his life. And when you come and hear his series, I believe God will change your life. As I listened to him preach at my church in Kansas, and as I heard how God had healed things in his family, in his heart, in his home, it was an amazing story, and we'll get to hear it together. But what you'll hear also is the reasoning of God. Come, let us reason together. So what does he want to reason with you about? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. He wants to reason with you about sins. Now, today it's not popular in culture to talk about sins. There is no right, there is no wrong. And everything that used to be wrong is now right. Just look at the laws that are being suggested and passed in this nation that are against at least 5 or 6 of the 10 commandments. So God doesn't go for that. He says, let's reason about that. Because if you're involved in sin, it's destroying something in your life. Is it really reasonable to have chosen a few minutes of pleasure and to be lost forever over that? Is it really reasonable to gamble with your eternal life, to take a chance that God is lying, that the Bible is not true, and that Jesus was a fraud? Is that reasonable? No, he says that's not reasonable. Is it reasonable to reject God's offer of mercy and forgiveness? Is that reasonable? No, that's not. Now that word, though your sins be as scarlet, is an interesting word. The word scarlet literally means double dyed. So you dip something once, that's not scarlet. You dip it twice, it's scarlet. The material is left so long in the dye that it permeates the very fibers. And this is what sin does. If you keep sin in your life and keep letting it happen, it permeates very deeply into the very fibers of your being. And this text is now saying, though your sins be that deep, God has good news for you. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? White as snow. Now, I used to work as a carpet and upholstery cleaner when I was younger. My wife would say I don't do that now very much. But Norman, the guy I worked with, he was a master at getting stains out. Oh, man. And he was known, actually, around the Detroit area. They'd call him up. I heard you can get my stains out. I just spilled something. And these are very affluent homes. And Norman would go there, and he would work magic. And the stains would come out. I remember some people hugging him. One person held a party because he got the stains out of something. But one of the hardest things to remove is blood. In fact, it's very hard. In fact, some people say it cannot be removed at all. And yet, in this passage, the word says, though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. I can reverse the curse of sin and sickness like nobody else. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So I have good news for you today. If sin has taken hold of your life in any way, this was the right service to come to, because in this service we have the foot washing, which symbolizes that cleansing washing of the water by the word, Ephesians 5:25. My words are spirit and they are life, John 6:63. He sent his word and healed them, Psalm 107:20. And so as we partake in that foot washing service that God ordained, he said, look, never separate it from the supper, because it's the reason the supper is a supper of joy, because you now are fully cleansed. And then you come with blessed assurance. And your sins, though as scarlet, become white as snow, red like crimson, though as wool. Can you say hallelujah? So this is the point of the text. If you're willing and obedient, verse 19 says, you shall eat the good of the land. So if you're willing and obedient to partake in that foot washing ceremony, which God said we shouldn't do until he comes, in John chapter 13, then that cleansing is still available for you. We practice an open communion here. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're happy to have you partake, even if you're visiting with us today. And there'll be several locations for foot washing. I don't know if I'm going to get this right because they've changed every service. The men will be meeting right outside. There are chairs set up for the men to wash one another's feet. And then also the ladies will be meeting in the old chapel. And then if there's couples that want to wash each other's feet, that you've had such a traumatic experience in your life, you need to wash each other's feet, then that's in the student center. So student center, couples, women, old chapel, men right outside, and those with disabilities or that need special assistance in that way, they can't walk that far, over to my right in that first door coming in from outside to the left there. And that's what we'll do. Now, by the way, I remember someone came for the very first time. They'd never been to a communion service before, and they found out that they were going to wash each other's feet, and they kind of freaked out. And this man, actually, that had this freak-out experience was sitting right next to Dr. Nedley. So he's sitting next to Dr. Nedley. He says, what are they doing? And he told him, he goes, I'm not going to have anyone wash my feet. My feet look terrible. They're the worst ever. Dr. Nelly said, well, I'll wash your feet if you let me. And I've seen terrible feet. I'm a doctor. I've seen all these different things. There's no kind of foot problem that you've seen. I have not seen it. And I've washed the feet of people who didn't have toes. They had big marks and everything. I can't imagine your feet are like that. But even if they were, I've washed feet. So he let him wash his feet. When he got through, he was so touched by that experience. And he came to me and he said to me, that man over there, he's a doctor, and he washed my feet. I said, he's actually the president of the institute. He said, what? He's the president of the institute? Couldn't someone else have washed my feet? I said, no, that's not the point. The point is that when we come together as part of the body of Christ, there's nobody that's above anyone else. Amen. We all need washing. We all need cleansing. We all have things that have been added up, and they add up every day. No Roman would ever go to sleep. No one in the Greco-Roman culture would ever go to sleep without washing their feet. Every single day they washed their feet. And Jesus took that rule. He flipped the script. He wasn't the president of Weimar Institute. He's the president of the world. And he came and said, look, if I come and wash your feet, shouldn't you wash each other's feet?
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.